Fever, 1793. Chapter 9, September 2nd, 1793. He's the best physician that knows the worthlessness of most medicines. Benjamin Franklin, Poor Richard's Almanac, 1733. I stood dumbly while Grandfather knelt by Mother's side. "She's alive," he said. "Take her feet, Maddie. We must get her inside." Eliza screamed as we carried Mother through the front door. She dropped a clay pitcher on the floor. It shattered into bits. "Is she?" "She was overcome by the heat," said Grandfather. "She'll be fine after a short rest. That's all she needs, a short rest." Mother didn't open her eyes until we tucked her into bed. She looked around in confusion. "You fainted," Eliza explained. "It's what you get for working too hard," added Grandfather. I waited for Mother to throw off the quilt and scold us. Instead, she shivered. "I'll sleep a few moments, then I'll feel better," she said, patting my hand. "Go downstairs, Matilda. Be useful." Something was desperately wrong. Mother was sleeping in the middle of the day. I wanted to stay and watch over her, but Eliza and Grandfather shooed me out of the room. There was no time to argue. A customer banged through the front door and called for something to drink. Nothing went right that afternoon. The coffee urn leaked. The biscuits burned in the oven. I dropped an entire drawer of tea leaves on the floor. The gentlemen were all quarrelsome and fractious. I snuck upstairs once, but Mother still slept. Mother Eliza gave me "what for" when she caught me. As I cleared the dirty mugs off the last table, Grandfather stood deep in conversation with Mr. Rowley. I motioned to Eliza. "Isn't he a doctor?" I said. Eliza shook her head. "Not a proper physician, but he sees sick folk and prescribes medicines. All the real doctors are down on the water street. It's been a terrible day there. They say bodies are piling up like firewood." "I don't believe it." "Shh," said Eliza. "I heard it at the society. If Reverend Allen said it, you can believe it's the truth. Here they come." Grandfather introduced Mr. Rowley. I curtsied. "Mr. Rowley here has the vast experience treating female complaints," said Grandfather. "He'll get Lucille back on her pins in no time." I had my doubts. His hands were uncommonly dirty, and he smelled of rum. It seemed immodest to let a strange man into our bedchamber, but Grandfather and Eliza showed him in to see the patient. I followed close behind. He first took Mother's pulse, then felt the skin on her ankles and wrists, then peered down her throat and under her eyelids. He worked without a word, grunting occasionally and making a tisking sound with his tongue. Mother did not wake. I wanted to throw a bucket of water in her face. It was against the laws of nature for her to lie in bed with the sun so high. At last, Rowley rose from the bed. We waited for him to speak, like a congregation expecting the minister's benediction. "It is not yellow fever," he said. Grandfather sighed in relief. "But Dr. Rush says yellow fever is spreading everywhere," Eliza said. "Dr. Rush likes to alarm people," Mr. Rowley replied. "There's a great debate about this pestilence. Yesterday, a physician I shall not name diagnosed yellow fever in an elderly woman. Her family threw her into the street. She died, but she didn't have yellow fever. It was all a mistake. I used the diagnosis sparingly, and I assure you there is no fever in this house." Grandfather beamed. "See, Matilda, I was right. We have no cause to run out of the city like children scared by a ghost. Lucille will be scolding us by sunrise," he chuckled. Rowley wagged his finger at Grandfather. "I wouldn't predict that," he said. "She'll need more than a good nap to recover. Be sure to bathe her every 4 hours and keep her clean and cool. I'll give some remedies to your servant." "And now," he said, holding out his hand and showing his gray teeth, "my fee." Giving my mother a bath felt upside down and backside front. I didn't want to do it. Daughters aren't supposed to bathe their mothers, but Eliza could not manage alone. We moved my bed to Grandfather's chamber and replaced it with a tin bathing tub. Every 4 hours, we filled the tub with hot water mixed with black pepper and myrrh. The worst part was dragging Mother from her fitful sleep and getting her to sit in the water. The fever had taken hold of her senses, and she wept, calling my father's name. While Mother dozed in the tub, we stripped the linen from her bed and laid on fresh. She was supposed to drink Dittany tea sweetened with molasses, but it tasted too horrible. As soon as we had her back in bed, Eliza emptied the tub and put more water on to boil. Mother shivered so hard her teeth rattled. Even with all the blankets in the house on her, she could not warm. She lay under the faded bedding like a rag doll, losing its stuffing, her hair a wild collection of snakes on the pillow, her cornflower blue eyes poisoned with the streaks of yellow and red. It hurt to look at her. After the sun set, Eliza set a candle by her bed. "You, Grandfather, is sleeping at old man Karras's house," she explained. "Just as well," I said. "Are you going home?" "I must," she said. "My brother is expecting me." I nodded. Eliza lived with her brother's family. They would be very worried if she didn't come home. "I'll be fine," I said. "I think she'll sleep through the night." Eliza kissed my forehead. "Don't forget your prayers," she said. "I'll come early and try to bring a doctor with me." After she left, I locked the doors and closed the shutters. A church bell struck 10 times and I shivered. The coffee house was filled with shadows and dark noises. I took 2 extra candles from the clothes press and hurried upstairs to watch over Mother. She did not notice when I entered the room. Her face was pulled taut in pain, and she jerked in her sleep. I so wanted to touch her. The top of her hands were roped with muscle and veins, but her skin was wrinkled and soft. Had she ever enjoyed anything? Had every day been a struggle? Perhaps death would be a release, a rest for the weary. A slight breeze waltzed through the room. Silas strolled in and jumped onto the bed. He settled himself so gently by her feet that she did not stir. No mice would disturb her, that was understood. Mother wrinkled her brow and moaned. I smoothed her hair. "I'm here, Mother," I whispered. "Be still." She shook her head from side to side on the pillow. Tears threatened again. I sniffed and tried to control my face. No one could ever tell what Mother thought or felt by looking at her. This was a useful trait. I needed to learn how to do it. There were so many things she had tried to teach me, but I didn't listen. I leaned over to kiss her forehead. A tear slipped out before I could stop it. I quietly sat beside her and opened my psalm book, praying for deliverance, or at least the dawn. I must have dozed off. One moment the room was still, the next Mother flew off the pillows and was violently ill, vomiting blood all over the bed and floor. Her eyes rolled back in her head. I jumped up from the stool. "Eliza," I screamed, "help." There was no answer. Eliza was gone. I was alone. I forced myself back to the bed. Mother panted heavily. "Everything will be fine," I said as I sponged her face clean. "Just lay still." Her eyes opened and I smiled at her. Tears pooled in her eyes and spilled down her cheeks. She opened her cracked lips. "Go away," she whispered. "Leave me." I recoiled as she leaned over the bed and rushed a foul-smelling black fluid onto the floor. "Oh, stop, please stop," I begged. "Leave me," Mother shouted in a ragged voice. "Leave me, go." I tried to help her back onto her pillows, but she pushed me away and shook her head. "Go away," she repeated. I ran sobbing to the window. Breathing in the fresh air helped calm my stomach. The houses along the street were shuttered tight and dark. I had to help her. She was depending on me. "Let me clean you up," I began as I turned away from the window. "You'll feel better in a clean shift. Maybe a bath. Would you like a bath again?" She was breathing as fast and heavy as a runaway horse. Her hand fumbled along the mucky sheet until it found the small book of Psalms I had dropped. "I'll put some water on to boil." Mother threw the book weakly at my head. "Out," she croaked. "Don't want you sick. Go away."